You guys keep on coming back, so I don't know. We'll have to just continue the piece. My usual disclaimer, I don't understand the Kutmaran, so we're just going to do the best I can. Okay. So we're in the middle of... that's my... I can't understand. What am I supposed to do? I haven't been invited. Nach didn't invite me in to be a chassid as yet. I don't know. I don't understand. Then for sure I won't be invited. All right. So again, Torah Yud Aleph. So again, Rav Nachman is telling us sort of like a journey, how to like a certain mahalach and avodas Hashem. So Rav Nachman is talking about a certain place that you start with and a certain place that you end with, and a path in between, how to get there. So where does a person start with? So Rav Nachman said he started with what he described as a madrega pchus, a low madrega. It sounds like it's yichud hila and yichud etato. So you know. Which we would think is like very high levels of emunah, but that's really just the beginning. What's the goal? What's the end? So the goal is, what is the lashon? Tuna satar lamka, right? Yeah, tuna satar lamka, to understand the Torah to its depth. To understand the Torah to its depth. And so I think in the first year, the way we explain it, possibly, I don't know, that the beginning is to... You know, the beginning is to be focused on who the Rabbanu Shalom is. And that's Emunah, Yichud Hilo, Yichud Tato, different sides of who the Rabbanu Shalom is, how he interacts with the world. But the real depth of Torah is to discover what Yisrael is, what Nishmas Yisrael is, and how. And that's the sugya the Rabbanu Shalom is interested in. You know, the Rabbanu Shalom is not interested in his own sugya. You know, he's interested, what gets his attention is Nishmas Yisrael. So. Person has to get to the depth of Torah to understand where Nishmas Yisrael exists in that place of Hashem. You know, in that beginning of Yichud Ilo, Yichud Tata, there's no room for us. You know, all there is the Rabbanu Shalom. That's, you know, many Svarim that talk about those Madregas. The meditative technique in Yichud Ilo, for example, Yichud Tata, is nullifying oneself, is to make the world nothing relative to where it all comes from. Which is in truth, again, in Breslov, that's really the beginning. That's really the beginning. I've mentioned this many times, that sort of there's a, you know, the Rebbe Rashab talked about this also, that there's a certain path in Avodas Hashem, which is that Yesh, Ayin, Yesh, right? First you start off as Yesh, you feel like you're somebody, but that's not in a good way. So then you have to go to a place of Ayin, of nothing. And that's through... contemplating Yichud Ilo and Yichud Tata, who the Rabbanu Shalom is and how tiny we are, and how really, like we mentioned, that the whole universe is just a fleeting, tiny thought that passes through the infinite mind of Hashem. It's Mamisha Malia, like I mentioned, Malia Kalara, that the whole world is existing, Ziv Yikare, from a ray of Hashem's covet. A ray, a fleeting thought, Kiyoch. So it's nothing. But then the highest madrega really is to then realize that that God is so deep that despite the fact that we're nothing, we could also be something at the same time. And we talk in our very essence, in our very, very deepest root, we're with Hashem. We're with Hashem. And the Rabbanu Shalom is a place, kivyachol, in Elokus that gives space for us too. And that's called Yesh, the final Yesh of like a real. But now it's a real Yesh. Now it's a real Yesh. That's the depth of Torah. Like we mentioned this, maybe the first time, that the very, very roots of Torah itself, which is the roots of creation, is the same place from which Nishmas Yisrael comes from. So that same very, very beginning of who God is, that sugya of who God is, which you thought in the beginning was just about Him. Ultimately, you realize that sugya about learning about who God is also learning about what a yid is, and that's the depth of Torah. That's the depth of Torah. But that's a mahalach. That's a mahalach. That ultimately comes into the final yesh. So that's what Rav Nachman said. You start off with yichud ilo, yichud tata, and eventually you get to the depth of Torah. But there has to be a mahalach in between. So you have to learn how to get there. So the way Rav Nachman said, the process of how to get there is to learn how to do tshuva, to learn how to how to get to that core, you know. And he said, and that's what we were saying last time, that the way to do that, how does one do that? So the answer is Torah itself can be the guide, right? Torah itself can be the guide. We spoke about this. Then you have Malchus, which is the bottom, is also Keser, is also connected all the way to on top, and that's the vehicle that you travel with as well. Malchus Chom Malchus Kol Olamim. The entire thing is Malchus. The bottom is Malchus. The top is Malchus. Traveling in between through is Malchus. So the vehicle through which we travel from the beginning to the end is through the words of Torah, right? That's what Nachman said, that by saying words of Torah out loud, then those words illuminate one's path of how to get to the depth of Torah. That's why it's not so, you know, the Gemara that Rav Nachman quoted was a Gemara about Bruria, that the wife of Rav Meir saw one of the Talmidim, presumably a Talmud of Rav Meir, I would imagine, a Talmud of Rav Meir, she saw one of the Talmidim that he was learning, but he was quiet. So the context of the Gemara is that learning like that is, it's hard to remember. It's better for memory if you say it out loud. If you don't say it out loud, it's not as good for memory. So that's the context of the Gemara. And Bruria said to him, Psach picha, open up your mouth, v'iru devrecha, and your words will become illuminated. So again, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that what she said was, say it out loud and you'll remember it. It's a funny way to describe to remember it as the words being illuminated. So Rav Nachman is teaching B'derech Avoda means that if you say the words out loud, then it illuminates your path in Avodas Hashem. So I'm just thinking out loud right now. Again, like I said, I'm, you know, what does that have to do with the pshat in the Gemara? You know, you always want to try to connect the pshat with the deeper interpretation. So what's the simple pshat is that you say it out loud in order to remember your learning. So what do those two ideas have to do with each other? Saying it out loud to illuminate one's path, right? To be able to discern, to figure out what to do tshuva on, how to do tshuva on, how to get to the depth of Torah. And that has to do also with opening one's mouth to be able to make sure that you remember the words of Torah. Well, the answer is, it's the same thing. What do you remember? What things do you remember? What things do you not remember? The more something is deeply connected to you, the more you remember it. Things that are less connected to you, the less you remember it. Like your sugya, you remember. Someone else's sugya, you don't. What you said before, to illuminate the path means the words of Torah illuminate the path to get to what? To move from a Torah which is about Hashem only, to the exclusion of me, to eventually get to a destination, which is that the same Torah that I'm learning about the Rabbanu Shalom is also I'm learning about me. Again, the depth of Torah, like I said from Rabbi Yisrael Sarug the first time, is that the very roots of Torah is also the same place within where Nishmas Yisrael comes from. That's the core. So ultimately, the same sugya that you're learning becomes slowly but surely becomes your sugya, and this is something it's not just relevant to you because, like, you know, you learn Hilchos Shabbos, you have to keep Shabbos, so it's negeya to you. I'm not talking about it being the word negeya comes from touching. I'm not saying it. It's not just that it touches you; it is you. This is you. It's like your own phone number, right? Or even more than that, your own name, right? Or even more than that, forget even a name. Your limbs, you. And so this is that simple pshat of the Gemara, which is open up your mouth and you'll be able to learn, and you'll be able to remember what you learn. That's the same inyan, just in more nigla form, more pshat form of this inyan of open up your mouth. The words of Torah will guide you to its depth, which will allow you to realize that what you're learning is about you, and then mela you're not going to forget it. You forget something that's outside of you. You can't forget you. You can't forget you, right? Yeah. So this is what we said last time, that voice to articulate something is connected, words are connected to Malchus, the mid of Malchus. Malchus is us. Malchus is you know, Ein Melech B'Layam. There's no king without a people. I mean, the Midah of Malchus, the divine Midah of Malchus, describing Hashem as a Melech, is the Midah that requires us. So, for example, in Chabad Chassidus, this is talked about a lot, that one of the basic differences between the Midah of Malchus and the Midah of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, all the other Midahs, is that every other Midah certainly needs someone for it to be expressed. But even without that other person, it's not a deficiency in the midah itself. So Avraham Avinu is chesed, right? He's sitting by his tent waiting for guests. Let's say guests didn't come. Or the truth is that guests didn't come, right? Because they're malach. They were, you know, that the Ishbitzer points out that the one mitzvah achnasas arachim that we have recorded in Chumash by the Ishbitzer, by Avraham Avinu, was actually not achnasas arachim. Because they didn't need the food, they didn't need the shelter. The whole thing was, so what was it at the end? He wanted to do achnasas arachim. So that's the greatest avoid anyway. Okay, that's it. But the point is, what's my point? My point is that not having, the moment that until guests come, there's a chesaron, maybe to a certain degree, in other people seeing or knowing that Avraham Avinu is a Baal Chesed. But it's not a deficiency in Avraham Avinu. He's as much of a Baal Chesed before the guests come to after the guests come. It's just a matter of whether other people know about it, but that's not... But Malchus is not like that. There is no such thing as Malchus without other people. So the Midah of Malchus is a Midah that not just... is more noticeable with other people. There is no such thing as Malchus without other people. So the Midah of Malchus is the divine Midah that almost you can say these words that the Kviyoch, the Rabbanu Shleilam, made a system in which we are essential to that. Again, this is the whole sugya that we're talking about, is that what is our relationship with the Rabbanu Shleilam? Is it a relationship of like, you know, there's God and there's just we're tagging along, you know what I mean? Or we're just sort of part of his story. And we're learning about his sugyas. Well, that's not the Midah of Malchus. That's not the Midah of Malchus. The Midah of Malchus is that his sugya is our sugya. If we don't know that sugya, then guess what? There is no sugya. So that Midah of Malchus is essential to this whole discussion. The Zohar says, Malchus peh, Tarsh bal peh kirinullah. The Midah of Malchus, like you mentioned last time, the Midah of Malchus is expressed verbally. On the body, the Midah of Malchus is associated with the mouth. A melech is also like that. B'divar melech sholtayin. The king rules with his mouth, with his speech. Right? That's how a king rules. He's not physically stronger than anyone else. He somehow convinced everyone to go along with him. So that's divar melech sholtayin. So the whole Indian, that's the point. The oimik of this sugya, like we find many places in the Kutaran, the oimik of the sugya is to reveal how deep malchus goes. Because again, you start off thinking that we are part of Hashem's malchus. Okay. Yeah, that's the kavana. The malchus is the merkava that one travels with. But this is the oimik, that how deep does malchus go? How essential is malchus? The answer is malchus. Not only does malchus give space for us to be an essential part of the system, but like I said, in the ultimate depth, malchus is the beginning. Malchus is where it all comes from. The only reason why the Rabbanu Shlom decided to even conjure up within himself Kviyachol, the Midah of Chesed, Gevur Tiferes, is ultimately in order for there to be a Malchus in which Chesed, Gevur Tiferes will be functional. But it's really all about Malchus. I mean, that's the essential sugya. There is no sugya. You can, that's the point, that the ultimate depth is you cannot separate a sugya of Elikus from sugya of Yisrael. You cannot separate the two. There's no such thing as talking about Hashem without talking about Nishmas Yisrael. They're bound to each other. This is why who revealed that secret of Psach Picha V'Yir Tivrecha? Open up your mouth and let your words become illuminated. It was Bruria, which is an Isha, right? And that's it's ironic, right? Bruria, Grada and Novi, we started as Betaras Akdama, but today we'll Bez Hashem started properly Dvoira, which is also a unique quality of an Isha, that she was the Shefetes. She was the God of Hadar and learning. But this is what Bruria's also had, that similar Nakuda. There's relationships between Bruria and Dvoira. But this Nakuda of an Isha, the wife of her mayor, that she was on the level of a Tana in terms of learning. And she is the one, which is Malchus. Isha is related to Malchus, right? Isha is connected to Malchus. Malchus pet tarsh bal pet karinala. Isha is related to Malchus. Less she has nothing of her own. She's the bias. But this is the secret. The secret of Eishes Chayil is a teres bala, that Malchus, when it's Everything is Malchus. Malchuscha Malchus Kol Eilamim. Everything is Malchus. Nishmas Yisrael is the beginning. Nishmas Yisrael is the end. And everything in between is Nishmas Yisrael. That's the Oimek. Again, that's the difference. It's a different approach of how to approach Torah and how to approach connection to Hashem. Are you connecting to Torah? Are you connecting to Hashem for the purposes of learning something outside of you? Or are you trying to discover something within you? It's a very, very big difference. It's a very big difference. But that's the Nekuda.
By Davar HaMelech, if you think of Malchus like David, most people think Davar HaMelech Tehillim.
And that's Tehillim is the greatest expression of this to a certain degree, because every Kapitel Tehillim is David sugya,
right.
But it's Hashem sugya because it's Tanakh, right?
And so it's all of them.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the Nekuda. There is the Tehillim highlights this Nekuda, that there is no barrier, there is no divide between the sugya of a Yid and the sugya of Hashem. It's everything in Tanakh is Hashem sugya, but the one sefer that's so every other sefer, okay, so it's the stories of Klal Yisrael, how Hashem is guiding us, but it's not what you're thinking, what you're feeling, it's just what's happening, right? So you're learning Parshas Chayisar or whatever, so you're learning about what's happening. So it's a sugya, but you're not talking about how Avraham Avinu was feeling in Parshas Chayisar. It doesn't talk about that. The only sefer in Tanakh that talks about how the person was experiencing the sugya is Tehillim, and that itself is a sugya in Torah. That's the epitome of Malchus. The essence of Malchus is like that. Psach picha, right? The iru devarecha, iru devarecha. That's the side of Buri. Boyez is gematria peh. Exactly. By the way, the Gemara says, yeah, it's the same. That's Malchus. That's the root of Malchus. David HaMelech, Chazal say that he had a throne, obviously for himself, but there was another throne that he had for Rus. I don't know how much overlap there was in their lives, but there was enough overlap that the mother of Malchus, isn't it? The mother of Malchus. Chazal say that Eish Yischiel, the song of Eish Yischiel, according to one opinion, Chazal was about Rus. But again, this is the oimek, is that the sugya of Elikus is our sugya, but it takes a process to get there, and that's the process he's talking about. Now, again, this is what we started with Ice Bays. Okay, let's just do it again at the beginning of Ice Bays. Ach l'dibur sheyorla, in order for the deeper to illuminate, yef sheliskas kiyamai dekovet, it has to be malchustik. It has to be malchustik. The words have to be with the bechin of malchus. They have to be the sense of covet. Who's covet? Not your covet, but Hashem's covet. But again, but they're your words. That the intention should be that the covet of Hashem should be complete. Who is the covet of Hashem? Again, Klal Yisrael is the covet of Hashem. What does it mean, the covet of Hashem, the honor of Hashem? Right, the Knesset Yisrael is the covet of Hashem. So the kavana is, when I say these words, that this should bring a completion to covet Shemayim.
Everything that I do, I do not for nobody, I just for the Shem, I want to give the respect to the Shem. 100%,
and that takes away a person's own ego, but ultimately, and it's replacing it with a healthy sense of self, because Shemeinu Karasa B'Shemecha, Matas L'Shimcha Gadol, Yeshua Ben Nun said, right? When Yeshua Ben Nun was worried about us losing wars in Eretz Yisrael, he said to Hashem, Matas L'Shimcha Gadol, what's going to be with your name? I mean, you're davening for Klal Yisrael's success. The answer is, guess what? We are the shame of Sektation. That's covet. That's the covet Shemayim. So when you're that's the point. You say these words with the intention that it should be marben, and to be mashlim covet Shemayim, which is Hashem's name, which is us. And that again, this is the process in which you get to that depth of understanding that every sugya is about you. So he says, but not in a bad way, not the yeshus, again, not the false yesha it starts with. This is why Torah, again, why does Torah have this quality of it being a sama mavis, right? The Gemara says that it could be a poison also, right? It could fuel ego, right? Like, I think I mentioned this last time from the Vilna Gaon, that Torah is compared to water, right? If you, whatever seed you put, you feed with water, whatever you planted is going to come out. The water doesn't decide what comes out, right? So if you approach Torah with a false yesh, guess what Torah is going to do? It'll bring out the false yesh. If you approach Torah with the intention, like he's saying, with the intention of it bringing to you the real yesh, Kavod Shemayim, and you're part of Kavod Shemayim, that's your identity, the Torah will bring that out too. Because Torah is ois, Torah is strength, Torah is yesh, Torah is something. But are you approaching it? What seed are you bringing to the water, right? Or what are you, you know, are you bringing the yesh of Sheker or the yesh Amiti? That's what Torah is going to bring out. Hainu de Anova Vekatna. So he says that that you're, again, the ego-driven covet is nothing compared to the covet of Hashem. Hainu de Anova Vekatna. So again, that's why Ayin and Ani are the same letters, right? Ayin and Ani are the same letters. Ki ikr b'chinas ha-dibur humi covet. The ikr inin of dibur is covet. K'may shakasov mi huzeh melech ha-covet. And so again, his point is that you see covet is associated with melech, and hainu melchus peh. And malchus is associated with the mouth. So he says, when the Torah is placed in damaged words, a damaged mouth, in other words, a person who is the king. He says, I know Emlech, I want to be the king, right? So then like from the Vilna Gaon, then those waters bring out your own, you know, that brings out your yeshus, you know, then that, you know. Then certainly the words of Torah not only will they not illuminate his path, then the Torah itself becomes Megushim, right? Becomes Egel Hazav, like we mentioned last week, it becomes an Egel, right? So it says in Pasuk, the Torah shouldn't leave your mouth, right? Simple pshat is you should learn, you know, all day as much as possible. But he says, v'yomesh choshech. So other places also, Rabbi Nachman says, La yomush, the word yomush comes from the word mamish, which means something physical. La yomush sefer zotar mzicha, don't allow the Torah to become megushim in your mouth. In other words, say the words of Torah not with a damaged mouth. Say words of Torah from a sense of humility and the intention of finding kavod shamayim. Again, knowing that you ultimately will be that. But it takes focus to get there, and then lo yomesh shevet ramzir v'icha, the Torah should not become mamoshistik, it shouldn't become a goshen. So he says kaidesha in mashgichim shiya kovet Hashem yisbrach b'shleimus, by not paying attention that the kovet of Hashem should be b'shleimus. If that's not the person's focus, haino adei gadlos, which means because they, you know, a sense of self grandeur, aideza in yichol leftaych ped, and the mouth can't really open to illuminate, for the words of Torah to illuminate. The Bechinas, the Pasuk says, Sagru Pimoi Dibru Begeus. The mouth became closed, they spoke with haughtiness. One second, if the mouth is closed, how are they talking, right? The answer is, they're talking in haughtiness, which means that the real mouth, which is Malchus, the Kaich of Torah, which is Malchus, that's become closed. Kamaisa de Levi bar Sisa, Sheilula Bima, V'tavach Rucha Yalov, V'loyan Ivan. Yeah, it's a mice with Shami. It's a mice with Levi. Levi was a Talmud of Rebbe. In Bavli, he's called Levi. There's many, many more. It's about Levi. Levi was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Kaddish. Yushalmi, Levi Bar Sisa. So the Yushalmi says a mice. There was, I can't remember the name of the town. There's a certain town that came to Rebbe and they asked for a Rav. They need a Maraderach, they need a Rav. So Rebbe sent Levi that he should go. So he went there, and the, I don't know if it was whatever the matzav was, they asked him a few shilas. Shilas about Yibam, I think, shilas about a sefer, I can't remember, a few shilas, different sugyas. And every single one he said, I don't know. So they sent him back. So Rebbe asked Levi, what happened? So he said, they asked me shilas, I didn't know. So Rebbe said, what'd they ask you? So he went to the shilas, and Rebbe said, you know the answers to that, what does it mean? And Levi knew the answers. So Levi said, when I got there, they made a whole celebration, they put me on a bima, there was like a whole, you know, and because of the covet, I forgot. So at the time, I taka didn't know. Now that I'm back just being a Talmud by you, I know. So that's what he's quoting over here, is that Kemaisa Levi Bar Sisa, Sheilu Labima, they put him up on a mi, but tafas ruchay olav, and you know, and there was a, again in his madrega, there was a zayrus of a yesh, and therefore the Torah was forgotten. V'lo yaniv, he wasn't able to answer. Kedei hageus tu gaiva. We said last with the eagle. That's the story of the eagle, right? That's the story of the eagle. Think about Ba'omek. What's the story of the eagle? Moshe is gone, and Klal Yisrael lose their footing, right? We've mentioned this many times. Why? So that was a nisayon, right? What should their reaction have been, right? Their reaction should have been, is that, one second, there's no sugya that's outside of us. Like, we're thinking Moshe Rabbeinu Kilu, like, okay, there's Hashem and Moshe, like, that's, you know, and then there's us. We're just tagging along. What tagging along? What tagging along? Tyrus Moshe is our Torah, right? It was an opportunity for the Jewish people to rectify the mistake from before, right? We mentioned this other times also. When Hashem wanted to talk to every single Yid, all of us, Seres HaDibris, panim upon him, like he talks to Moshe. But we came to Moshe and we said, it's not possible. Dabar lecha, let Hashem talk to you and you'll tell us. But that was a big mistake. Arizal, Reb Chaim Vital writes this in Akdama Teitzchaim, that was a big mistake. Kamaran talks about this many times, because what they should have realized is, one second, there's no such thing, there's no sugi that's not you. Ainli Asik bin Astar. So that's not my union. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. What? If it's something in Torah, or if it's a madrega in Torah, then that's your union. What do you mean? It's only for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not. Understand the difference between hearing it directly from Hashem or via Moshe. It means that by the time it reaches to you, it's not going to be with its full potency. So why they say that? Because that different, that level of potency that Moshe hears, that's not for us. What do you mean it's not for us? What does that mean? You want to say that you're not ready for it? Hashem said you are. No, so like it's a, you know, okay, but it's the same. So Hashem gave them an opportunity to be misakin it again by the egel, right? Because Hashem said, because Moshe is gone. Oh, Moshe is gone, so now you have the opportunity to stand on your own 2 feet and say, you know what? But we could be Moshe. There's a Moshe inside of us. But again, they went to the same problem, which is not finding their own, not seeing. Again, here's the irony. If a person has no choice but to have a sense of self, have a sense of yesh. You have no choice. The choice is it going to be the yesh amiti? Are you going to see yourself as an extension of Kavod Shamayim and of divine names? Or if you're not going to do that, then you're automatically going to be choosing the other way, which is a false sense of yesh, of gaiva. Because you can't truly be nothing. You have to choose. So if they would have chosen, so if you choose the path of Kavod Shamayim and you see yourself as an extension of that, well, that means there's no sugya that's not about you. And then you're confident even when Moshe is not here. They didn't choose that path, which means what? So it looks like initially they're just choosing nothingness, but there's no such thing. So really what they're choosing is also something, but not Hashem something. They're choosing their own, their personal something. That's the ego. And all of a sudden that mouth, which should have been a mouth which would express Kavod Shamayim, is now a mouth that expresses Eil Elecha Yisrael. And now the Torah becomes Mugushim, which is what the ego was. So again, this is in Rav Nachman. There's no option of ayin in truth. There's no real option like that. It's you have no choice but to be on this path of either yesh of sheker of Eil Elecha Yisrael, or the yesh amiti, which is you stand by our Sinai and you hear the Dvar Hashem directly from Hashem without any intermediary. Those are the two options. You know that those are the two options. So he says over here whenever ki al dei geus. Through Gaiva, Ubachinas Avoid the Salim, that's Avoid the Zara. Ubavoid the Salim Ksiv, when it comes to Avoid the Zara, it says in Pasik, Pesile Elehayam Tisrafun Be'esh. That all God, the halachas of Avoid the Zara should be burnt in fire, right? Avoid the Zara should be burnt in fire. V'chol, I'm Elisrav Kisarav Dami. The Gemara says it's a kalal that anything that is supposed to be burnt to a certain degree already means it doesn't have chashivas, and it's kilu, it's burnt. V'chsusin Michta Shiure, the halach is if something needs a shear, right? So, the classic example in the Gemara is a lulav, right? A lulav needs to be 3 or 4 tefachim, right? So the Gemara says if you have a lulav, it comes from a tree, right? From a palm tree, whatever. So the Gemara says, let's say the tree was an asherah. Let's say they served avodah zarah. You know, the tree was avodah zarah. So however you make an asherah, so it becomes aser, and there's a mitzvah to burn it. So says the Gemara, well, if this lulav, there's a mitzvah to burn, it means it's not called, it doesn't have a shear of three or four tefachim. It has a shear of three or four tefachim. The need of a shear means chshivas. That's how the Achrayim explain. That when you have a shear for something, it's because it has to have a certain chashivas to it. So the way the chashivas is brought out is that it's three or four tefachim tall. If it's oimid lisra, if it's supposed to be destroyed, it means it doesn't really have a chashivas. If it doesn't have chashivas, it's kilu doesn't have the shear. That's how the Achrayim touch the Gemara. That's the point. It's not the false yesh is be'etzim naf, and it's be'etzim nachoshev. The true chashivas is covet, right? Covet is Hashem's covet. If you're not part of that, you know, again, this is the choice. It's again, like I said, it's either the yesh amiti or the false yesh. Those are the two options. But and the truth is that the false yesh, which is avodah zarah, is kesaref dami. It's on its way to be burnt, which means even before it's burnt, it doesn't have chashivas of a shear. Right? In halacha. Right? That's the point. In halacha, anything that's how they're just trying to give background. The way that he's not quoting the Achrayim, but the way the Gemara says again, anything that's going to be burnt, it's kilu, it's burnt. Memela the lulav that's going to be burnt, so that's why you're not yotze, because it's kesarftam, it's as if it's burnt already. So es the Achrayim, you find that by a lulav, by other things, I don't know whether it's an example or something, but we only find that with certain types of items, certain types of mitzvahs. We don't find that with other things. Trying to think of it. Kedushin of Shavu Kesef is Kekesef. Huh? Shofar has a shear. Right. So I'm saying, the Achrayim point out that there's other mitzvahs that we don't say this principle of kesarif tami, kilu, it's gone. Okay, I can't remember the. So one of the explanation is that it's not the pshat that anything that's going to be burnt, kilu, it's burnt. The point is, since it's going to be burnt, it doesn't have cheshivas right now. So there are certain mitzvahs that require cheshivas. How do you know that something requires cheshivas if it has a halacha that it has to have a certain shear to it? The shear is an indication that it has to be a chashuva object. If it's going to be burnt, it means it's not a chashuva object. So the way the Gemara articulates that is that since it's going to be burnt, it doesn't have the shear of three or four tefachim. Understand? But it's really a chasarn and it's chashivas. So that's the point over here. That if a person chooses the path of gaiva and of the false yesh, the truth is it feels like a certain sense of somethingness, but it's short lived. Because it's avodah zaradik. If it's avodah zaradik, it's kesarif dami. If it's kesarif dami, it means right now, really, it's not so chashiv. It's just a matter of time till it plays itself out. Huh? Karban Pesach is in Kedush. I mean, we find karbanis being burnt. That's a different type of burning. That's not for the purposes of destroying necessarily. That's a mitzvah of beish destroy. I'm not gonna say it's avodah, but there's a certain. It's an enough kedusha to burn a leftover carbon.
Like they move a lemita in a bamitot bedin.
Yeah.
If somebody is killing, the Gemara says that somebody
is. He's a dead man walking already. Yeah. So he says, "Ksud mechzur, can move a big Gemara." Linin shayfer shalva the zar. Okay, v'kivin shemechta shiure, and since it's missing its shear, ain't like kli hadib lo davim, then it doesn't have the ability to speak. This is also, I mean. He's drawing a connection also between the inin of shiurim, of measurements, and the kleich of dibor, which is not so crazy. The kleich of dibor, speech comes, there's kol, there's voice, like a shofar, right? There's voice. Speech comes when you take that undifferentiated, undivided kol, and you divide it up in particular measurements, right? That's how speech works. So to a certain degree, shiurim is very much related to speech. Also, api kabbalah, malchus, Malchus is also associated with being magbil, with giving dimensions to things, with like a melech. A melech, what a functional. What's the difference between a functional malchus and a dysfunctional malchus? Right. So there's one of the qualities of a functional malchus is that everyone has their gvul. If it wasn't for a proper malchus, ish yisraeyu. Chaim b'loy, each one would consume the other because there wouldn't be a proper boundary between one and the other. So what does malchus mean? Malchus means to establish boundaries. That's a shear. That's a shir. So when there's a real good malchus and a healthy peh, then you have a shir. But if there's not a healthy malchus, because you've chosen your own ego, which is avodah zarah, ksusin mechta shir, that means there's no shir. It means there's a chasar in shir. So he says... It's a morphing. It's a evolving, a revelation of what yesh is. Again, this is I've mentioned this many times when you sort of compare is the wrong word, but you know when you relate Breslov and Chabad together, this is very much one of the things that become apparent is that Chabad is hyper focused on the void of bittul, but Rav Nachman is giving a context to that. This is a misunderstanding people have even in the context of Chabad, of Bittul. Bittul, there's a reason why the Baal Tanya and the Svarak Doshim use the word Bittul. Bittul, in Halacha, if you have something that's Aser, you have something that's Treif, a piece of Chazer, you can't be Mavatal it. Or just say, no, it's not Chazer, it's not Chazer, it's Chazer. Elamai, what does Bittul mean? When you take it and you put it into a pot that's 60 times, okay, then it's Batal. Batal means when you take something and you nullify it in something bigger than itself. That's Bittul. But there's no such thing as taking something and just Bittul. It's by Chometz, right? By Bittul Chometz, there's such a thing. But even that, it's Hefker, there's Lamdis. But the Stam is like, there's no Indian, it doesn't exist. It does exist. The only way to make something not exist, if it exists, it exists. You can't make something not exist. You have to just choose what's its existence. That's Rav Nachman saying. You have to just choose. It's a giveaway of what Bittul is. This is also, once you realize this, you see this in Tani, you see this in Chabad Chassidus. It's not, this is what Bittul means. Anyway, so he says, let's just finish. When a person is careful and mimakban on kavod Hashem, shu nivza be'ein of nimas, that he himself is nothing. So aideza yuchal daba devor mamir, and then the words can he can say illuminating words. That the earth becomes illuminated from his kavod. Again, these are all code words for malchus. Va'aretz kavodai. The himir and the shuva, and they guide the person in the process of tshuva. Then you get to the depth of Torah, as you mentioned earlier. Okay, fine. Stop this.